It's Wednesday, the 19th day of September, 2012. I'm Alex Jones. Strap yourselves in for an extremely important, groundbreaking edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Straight ahead.
Tonight, on the InfoWars Nightly News, Alex Jones speaks with InfoWars reporters Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton about the UN takeover of our inalienable rights in the name of sustainable development. Plus, the dollar is headed for a rapid collapse as fake gold bars turn up in Manhattan. Then, Walmart sued after tearing up a woman's $100 bills. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
First off, we covered this last night, but in the last 24 hours, it's been picked up by a lot of publications, thanks to DrudgeReport.com, boosting our story. And I'm covering this again because it's so incredibly important. DHS has purchased an additional 200 million more rounds of ammunition. Additional purchases include bullets designed for snipers. The FedBiz Ops website shows the DHS is looking to purchase an additional 200 million rounds of .223 rifle ammunition over the next 4 years, as well as 176,000 rounds of .308 caliber, 160 grain hollow point boat tail rounds, and an additional 25,000 rounds of blank .308 caliber bullets for sniper training. Now, again, this is out over the next 4 years, but they've already purchased $1.4 billion in the last year they've taken delivery of. So it's just so many of these purchases are coming in, we can't even track them all. And we've had police calling in, you name it, saying, hey, we've been told, get ready for martial law. Get ready for total collapse. I hope that's not the case, but all the preparations are being made. James Smith over at Prepper Podcast website highlights, it is the type of ammunition and not necessarily the quantity that is troubling. Smith points out the DHS acquisition of .308 rounds is a concern because they are set to be used by well-trained snipers. That's right. Police up close use handguns, 40 cal. They use 12-gauge cartridges. But when you 223 up close with rifles, when they start getting into .308, that's sniper. And that's what they admit they're for, is sniper. So just ongoing training on that front. Total arms buildup against the American people by the banks that have occupied and taken over this nation and are who are working with collaborators. And I want to note, many of the collaborators in this country don't even realize that they're working for offshore banks. But they are collaborators. It's like most Germans actually thought they were trying to save Germany. Most Russians thought communists were, you know, their bosses. And people just get into this mindset of not questioning. And you need to start questioning, or we're going to get deeper down the rat hole. And I say that to new viewers, new listeners out there. This is a report out of SHTF plan, Mark Slavo, but it also links through to a story I reported on yesterday. There's more on this. MSNBC, CNBC, and others are reporting. The lower the U.S. dollar, the greater the intensity of currency wars. And it goes on to break down the chart showing just since QE3 was announced how much the dollar has dropped, but other currencies are dropping as well. And this chart actually comes from CNBC that site is linking to. In fact, here's CNBC. The third significant feature is historical support for the 74.5 in the dollar. This is the upper edge of the consolidation band between 73.5 and 74.5. This is a downgrade target for the dollar index following a fall to 79, below 79. This target can be reached very rapidly over the next 3 to 4 weeks. A rapid collapse of the U.S. dollar puts immediate pressure on other dollar-linked currencies. So there's a race to lower currencies worldwide. There is a very low probability the U.S. dollar will resume its upward trend. The move below the value of the up trend line below the 75 confirmed the new downward trend has developed. So it's this seesaw up and down. But the issue is, over a 10-year graph, not a 4-year graph, the dollar's going down. There's some ups and downs in it, but it's a downward ridge, not an upward. So we've got inflation going up because the dollar's being devalued. As it goes down, your purchasing value goes down. The cost of goods goes up. And you see that hyperinflation looming. They've tried to export the inflation, but it's coming back in derivatives from oil to natural gas to firearms are pretty much a derivative now. They've never been called that. But pork bellies, beans, everything. Wheat, it's all going up. Okay, continuing here with the ongoing manipulation. I've been reporting on this for more than 14 years. And it's been in foreign journals, it's been in financial publications that specialists read. It's not secret, it's just something the average person that watches football all day doesn't know, that Fort Knox was found to have a bunch of fake tungsten bars plated in gold, that a lot of other major central banks have been caught doing this, and now all over the world, in New York City, you name it, citizens are going in, private folks are going in China, India, the U.S., Mexico, you name it, the reports are coming out. And they are buying 10-ounce, 20-ounce, 50-ounce, 100-ounce gold bars put out by governments, put out by private groups. And they're spinning this in the media that, well, groups have gotten the bars and drilled into them and hollowed them out and put tungsten in. But this is being done very professionally. Tungsten weighs almost the same as gold, so it's very hard to tell if this has been done. But recently, again, more of these have been popping up. And here is a clip from Fox News in New York, breaking down the fact that they're investigating this as a global phenomenon. The truth is, it is. And this is a kind of naked short in gold where these big central banks that are holding government's gold can loan it out and claim they have larger reserves than they do, that they've actually sold. And the truth is, you're looking at a pile of tungsten. And in some cases, it's gold bars on the outside and just tungsten on the inside. So it's not even bars that have had tungsten put inside. Sometimes it's gold bars outside of tungsten inside. And this just goes to how they've tried to use the paper market and other things to hold gold down, because it exposes what's happening with the devaluation of global currencies. The issue here, though, is now that George Soros and other heavy hitters are exiting stock markets, exiting brokerage, exiting handling people's money, because they know the design collapse is coming and moving into gold big time, will they be able to continue to suppress it forever? That's the question. All I know is I'm investing in gold and silver. Okay, let's go ahead now and go to that clip.
This 10-ounce gold bar costing nearly $18,000 turns out to be a counterfeit worth just about $3,600. It's filled with tungsten, which weighs nearly the same as gold, but costs just over a dollar an ounce. In March, gold bars filled with tungsten showed up in England. With New York now hit, it may mean an international ring's involved.
Everything is manipulated, including gold, but the globalists can manipulate paper a million times easier, literally. Paper, zeros and ones in computers, la-la land. Commodities, if they want to manipulate them, they've got to use paper to try to control them. But over the long term, they can't. So tangible things, friends, family, gold, silver, water filters, food, skills, trades. Folks are going to still need a dentist. They're still going to need a nurse. They're still going to need a farmer no matter what happens. They're still going to need a mechanic. So it is your trades that you have that are most important. All right, continuing along with the ongoing disintegration of society, I remember a few years ago I saw a report where a guy had done a school project with $2 bills talking about the Declaration of Independence. It was a school project for a class of Boy Scouts. So they were giving them all at graduation to a new scout level in their class a $2 bill that has the Declaration of Independence signing on the back. Well, he had some left over, and he went to Best Buy and tried to use a few of them with other cash, and they arrested him. The cops came, and they didn't know $2 bills were real. We can probably show an image of a $2 bill. Yeah, there's some there on screen. Evil, terrorist, paper money that the globalists can't track. Doesn't matter, it's Federal Reserve. People still think of it as America. They still think of it as private exchange of goods. You can't do that. The NSA has trouble tracking all of that. So they arrested him. And then even after they found out it was legal money, it didn't matter. I mean, you don't do that as a prisoner here in America. Since then, I had my friend Chris Athanas, a local TV host I was friends with, programmer for many years, was sent to the state pen because he was on the edge of the University of Texas showing people silver dollars and explaining the Federal Reserve's private. The cops thought that was illegal. And they came over. He wasn't even on UT, but he had his concealed carry, had a license. This is a guy with a multi-million-dollar company, programmer. And they still found a jury that thought guns and silver were illegal to falsely convict him and put him in jail. So this is happening everywhere. Now, this is going on everywhere. Well, there's a new case of this. You've seen the Homeland Security reports where they say to shopkeepers, if someone's using cash, they're probably a terrorist. In fact, if they're even buying a $3 cup of coffee and a Danish or something, they're a terrorist. I had a lady at a coffee shop just last week. I had a 50. I had my wife and three kids. I bought like $25 worth of stuff at the coffee shop. We bought food there, sandwiches, you name it. And she said, I can't take this 50. And I said, ma'am, with inflation, that's like $10 20 years ago. I said, all I've got's a, she goes, you don't have credit cards? Now the corporations, the big chains, which we shouldn't even be shopping anyways, it was just where we were at, so we went in there. They are now pressuring their menus, because I talked to her. I said, listen, that's not a big deal. She did the little marker to make sure it was real afterwards. It turned out the manager was a listener, and they're like, listen, we've been told to discourage cash, so it's on. So now with that background, here it is. By the way, Louisiana has banned using cash in secondhand purchases at garage sales. They arrest you if you do. Texas woman sues Walmart for ripping up her $100 bills. The banks are trying to force cash out. A woman is suing a San Antonio Walmart after two employees ripped apart two $100 bills she used for payment. And this is being picked up by mainstream news. Don Salazar at InfoWars.com breaks it down. She comes in, she has $100, and the guy goes, this isn't real, doesn't even do the thing, and rips it in half. She goes, hey, I want you to call your manager. I want $100 back. Manager comes, she goes, look, I got another one. It's real. Look, it's got the security strip. It's got, rips that. He goes, we don't take cash. Then they say, you can't leave, and have security guards bow up to her. It's not even a real arrest. And the cops come and do the test and go, no, it's got a security strip. They check it all. It's got the, no, it's real. They basically say, get out of our store. So this is happening everywhere. I mean, understand, I'm sitting there at Starbucks a week and a half ago with my kids or whatever it was, and I'm like, here's a 50. It's like $23 and change, if memory serves. We got sandwiches. We got croissants. We got cakes. We got milks for the kids. We got coffees. And they're just like, whoa, we can't take this. You got, I'm like, I mean, this is the point we've reached in this country. After having police called on her and being detained for 3 hours, Texas resident Julia Garcia says she will pursue a lawsuit against the chain for false imprisonment. Damn right. They do not have immunity against that. In emotional distress, after two employees ripped $200 bills she was obtained from an earlier vehicle sale and subsequently accused her of counterfeiting money. Man, I've had people. I've gone to Barton Springs in Austin and had a 20 with my wife and three children and me. That's $9. And I get between them. You got anything smaller? It's like this, whoa, well, let me check. And again, it's all about we're all guilty and we're all bad. But the foreign banks devaluing the currency and taking over, they're good guys. They're good guys. But we've got to all watch each other. We are all scum. By the way, there's Ackle and Associates, insane ban on cash transactions, Louisiana, secondhand dealer. We have got to get those lawyers on to talk about that. I mean, this country is becoming an absolute joke, folks, with internal capital and currency controls. I was flying to Las Vegas last year to film Jesse Ventura's TV show. We were going out to a rocket base out there, a private rocket base. That's why I was in Sin City. And I'm flying into Vegas. But I saw this at Austin, but then I sat by the guy on the plane. He was a software engineer again, going to a coin show. And he had like six silver dollars. He was going to the coin show to buy. These six he was just going to sell. And these were like worth, at the time, about $40 a piece. They pull him out. They try to take him. They threaten him. They inventory it. I'm talking to people now that have one gold coin and the TSA is taking it. They also grab your laptop and just download it. I mean, next is proctology exams. I mean, what's coming next? Well, what's coming next has already happened. John P. Holdren wrote in the 70s, they want to put stuff in our water to sterilize us. Guess what they do? It's called fluoride and other things, bisphenol A. Here's a great article at InfoWars.com by the amazing researcher. It says, UC professor eyes permanent sterilant to cull U.S. population. Cardullo also told people could reduce population impact on the earth by becoming vegetarians. They want to make that the law, basically. Well, taxes on food that are starting in New York, kind of the rollout city. One of the things we know is the production of meat is incredibly expensive, he said. So they'll decide what you have if it's expensive. What about having an economy, punk? But you want us all poor, getting everything from you. You are going to start hearing more and more about humans' carbon footprint, and one of the biggest contributions to the carbon footprint of the production of meat we could do is simply by just becoming more vegetarian. We're going to be covering this with Aaron Dykes, Melissa Melton, with an amazing report coming up in a moment. Although the professor tells his listening audience that the lower their living of the lower their standard of living to minimize human impact on the earth, he stresses that this is itself isn't sufficient to lower fertility in the United States. Also, the professor continues saying famine, disease, and war and so on do not have the ability to effectively cull the human population. And they go on to break down cutting Chinese and American research. He goes on to say, mentions that this chemical has the potential of killing humans, causing not just temporary but permanent sterility in males. Ultimately, the World Health Organization argues against using it, but interestingly enough, there are countries in the world such as China, Nigeria, and Brazil using it in a permanent method of controlling fertility in males, which is an option, he went on to say. And there is the molecule of what they are talking about. And this stuff's already in the food and water, very similar molecules. We are being exterminated right now. That's why cancer is off the charts. And we had big news with Mike Adams about that today, dealing with the giant tumors, now confirmed by top French scientists in a major medical journal, that when they feed them GMO corn, it's just massive reductions in life expectancy, giant tumors, cancer off the charts, just what we're seeing in humans that everybody's not supposed to pay attention to because terrorists are hiding under every table. Finally, as we go to break here and come back with our guest, Beijing hints at bond attack on Japan, London Telegraph. Just yesterday, their top general said they may have to have a military conflict with Japan. Notice this is all happening all over the world. As currencies are devalued, as global meltdown takes place, the system is now pushing towards war, which will get the general populations diverted into rallying around the flag and doing what their governments tell them when the governments themselves have been hijacked by foreign megabanks. It is clear, quoting the government, that China can deal a heavy blow to the Japanese economy without hurting itself too much, he said. It is unclear whether he was speaking with a full backing of the Politburo or whether sales of Japanese debt would do much damage. The Bank of Japan could counter the move with bond purchases. Any weakening of the yen would become welcome. But what are the globalists like is they know about all these decisions because they're controlling all these governments, European, American, Canadian, Mexican, Japanese, Chinese, Nigerian. They know the decisions before they're made. So they can all pre-position, knowing the ups and downs, to consolidate power and control. But the biggest consolidation of power and control is that the social engineers are destroying industry and making us all poor so they can control us for less and less money that they, again, control completely. It's about shutting off energy to make you pay more for less. This is all about artificial scarcity. Here is the daily quote as we go to break and come back with the amazing report compiled over the last 3 weeks by Melissa Melton and Aaron Dykes. Japan is an important ally of ours, Japan and the United States, of the Western industrial capacity. 60% of the GDP of the two countries. That's a statement in and of itself, Dan Quayle. Okay, we'll be back with InfoWars Nightly News. They want to make you so poor you can't vote with your dollars for organic food or vote with your dollars to get high-quality vitamins and minerals at places like InfoWarsHealth.com. They want to make you poor so you can't afford six memberships for the price of one at InfoWars Nightly News. You can sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. One membership, the username and passcode you create, can be shared with up to six people who can simultaneously log on. But even if you can't become a member, and you're watching this as we virally spread it out the day after we air it first for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, you can spread the word about the radio show, about PrisonPlanet.com, and about InfoWars.com. The success of this mission against tyranny depends on you and the decisions you make right now. Going along with this tyranny will not protect you. History is clear on that, and my gut is clear on that. My instincts know the way towards liberty and freedom for ourselves and our children is standing up against these bullies and giving them both barrels in the info war. So subscribe today at PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be back with an in-depth investigation of how the United Nations and the globalists are conquering America. The UN flag now reigns supreme over my state of Texas. I live in a fully captured globalist control system. Agenda 21, the next phase of tyranny, straight ahead.
Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. We've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The K-Tor hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, third edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. TheraSafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn from friends like Ted Anderson about the incredible health effects of longevity products. And I started promoting him some because I'd seen his weight loss, his health, all the things that had happened for him. Now, I've only stuck my toe in the water and lost a little over 40 pounds, and I'm still big. Aaron Dykes, who you know has been working here for 6 years at InfoWars.com, lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. He began to hear the guest on my show a year and a half ago. He began to do his own research, and he implemented the information that Longevity and InfoWarsTeam.com is promoting and had dramatic results. And that's why I'm telling our listeners and viewers, you need to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and try just the essential fatty acids, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, and the Pollen Burst Plus. And I believe you'll be blown away by the dramatic results that I've had and Aaron's had. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've been overweight in my life for far too long. Years ago, I lost a lot of weight, more than 50 pounds, but it came right back. I wasn't able to keep it off. More recently, I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen, and I wasn't able to stay motivated long enough to reach my goals. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com and the great products, Tangy Tangerine, kind of the base one to start with. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition, didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss.
They don't. But
pharmacist Ben Fuchs explains that's what happens if you're overweight, because you're no longer hungry because you're getting what you need. When you start taking their proprietary formulation of essential fatty acids that blows the competition away, when you start taking Beyond Tangy Tangerine and Pollen Burst Plus and the other key longevity products, it is incredible.
It was so easy to lose weight and regain health for myself, barely without trying, just from taking the products.
I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com so you can see for yourselves the incredible results Aaron and others have achieved with longevity products that are discounted at wholesale prices at InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. The revolution against tyranny starts individually with our bodies. There is a global awakening happening. The sleeping giant that is humanity is awakening, and a big part of that fight starts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
My friends, I have researched the globalist takeover program for more than 17 years, and this world is a very complex place, and that gives evil a lot of places to hide. But bottom line, we have a lot of collectivists who actually serve multinational corporations who are crony capitalists. They use government to shut down their competition and take over societies. Communist China and many other authoritarian nations have signed on to the UN Agendas 21 that was put into global law and ratified back in 1992. We are now under this. It means high taxes are on your business, your farm, but the insiders who have been selected, well, they're exempt. And this is happening all over the U.S., but also all over the world. I live right here in Austin, Texas, and I have just seen hellish activity where UN-sponsored groups have taken tens of thousands of acres of people's property without even paying them in some cases, and then turned around and built on it a few years later. I mean, this is just mafia saying, hey, we're taking over for the earth. They're shutting down our last Austin power plant. They've already doubled our prices the last few years, saying it's for the earth, but it's really for General Electric and others that are set to make even bigger profits by shutting down their competition. We are being financially conquered. We're going back into serfdom and slavery. And this is the first of many reports we're going to go out and research and present to you here, because all around Austin now and all over the state and all over the country, they're coming in and financing people to run for mayor and city council. They're coming in with federal and international and Rockefeller money, throwing money around and promising a bunch of stuff and taking over the towns. And then jacking up taxes to shut everybody down but themselves. It's amazing. You can't even build a house in Austin unless you're part of the insiders and basically make payoffs. This is so scary to see this happening. Now, we're about to premiere a report that's taken almost 3 weeks to put together by Melissa Melton and Aaron Dykes that they just finished minutes before airtime. Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton, Aaron, you've got a lot of the research here in front of you. We'll do future reports on this, but we're behind the eight ball here on time. From your research, I mean, I told you this was a UN takeover, but as usual, you went out and researched it and found, oh my God, you've been very angry about this. You don't usually have a temper. What did you discover, Aaron?
Well, I already knew it was Agenda 21 and that all these terms matched up with sustainable development, but I went and checked again anyway because they all denied it at this meeting that it had anything to do with the United
States. But two different meetings.
Yeah, two different meetings that had anything to do with Agenda 21, even though it's patently Agenda 21, which was always meant to be implemented locally through the NGOs, and that's what's happening here. But it's the same people from Central Texas who tried to push toll roads on us and all the other garbage with light rail and trying to put us in these compact grids.
Seizing already built roads and making you pay for them when it's far and run. Tell them how many Rockefeller foundations were involved.
Endless. I've got a list here just of, well, just a few of the environmental related entities that Rockefeller owns or contributes to, everything from Urban Land Institute, Sierra Club, Open Space Institute. You get the idea. It's a bunch.
And again, the key is they get these laws passed locally by their operatives who they – I saw an article where they've bought over 200 Texas newspapers just to get the toll roads in. They actually are buying the towns so that no one can resist them, because all the money and control is in taxing you to drive down the road or live or have a well.
It's all one central smart growth plan that they wrote at least a decade ago, and they're still implementing it. Even when the people said no, shouted them down at protests and public meetings, they're still.
Texas polls are 99% against this.
They're just doing it anyway, and they're at these meetings.
And what you found, Melissa, tell folks about the Delphi technique, because you show the video. They said just by coming to these meetings at the cities, you acquiesce to what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They said there was a bullet point on one of the PowerPoints right at the very beginning that said just by participating that you agree with everything that happens at the meeting. And basically all of the questions were leading. Everything was leading, and all the answers were preset. So no matter what you chose, you were choosing Agenda 21.
What did you make of the fact, Melissa, that – well, I mean, just repeat everything I've heard in the office and all the documents that they're going, we don't know what that is. Oh, please.
Oh, man, some of the footage we shot, it was just amazing how fake they seemed when they were saying this. It just, you know, it was very obvious that they knew what was going on, and they're like, Agenda 21, what does that number mean? Like, they were just acting totally confused.
Meanwhile, you found the handbooks where they tell you how to deal with the public.
Literal handbooks written by the NGO that works directly with the United Nations called Local Agenda 21. And it's the same. They call their workshops visioning seminars, community forums. It's literally in there page after page.
And how to deal with us.
Yeah.
You were showing me all these, Aaron, because you dig into this stuff. Aaron's an incredible researcher.
There's a few of them. The real bombshell one's only online. But
and then you went and interviewed the UT professor that calls his class. Tell folks.
Yeah, I actually went and interviewed a professor who calls his class Agenda 21, and he says it's about collectivism. And he says it's about all of us need to learn how to live better with the environment. We need to be more ecologically friendly. But really,
but that means giving society over to them.
Basically, yes.
You never hear them talk about GMOs, though.
Mm.
No. It's all, your carbon's bad, pay Al Gore money.
Yeah, and we were told that, oh, this came out of the local communities, little towns with 10,000 people, that the mayor stayed up late at night to write these plans, even though they're directly out of the United Nations.
And it's in every city in the country, in every town, and we've got them on tape going, no, we just thought this up. And then you go find out they're all working for the NGOs.
And they say it has nothing to do with the national agenda. Clinton set up the Council for Sustainable Development. Obama set up his own Partnership for Sustainable Communities. Notice the name of this book, same exact plan. And it's all how to integrate traffic with housing as well as EPA regulations. And then they branch out into things like USDA. It's really that rural council where they're trying to take over all of the heartland.
And you watch the videos, word for word, it's all this, but they're like, we don't know what you're talking about. Tell folks about the professor at the end of the interview once the cameras were turned off.
At the end of the interview, once the cameras were turned completely off, he waited for us to put them back in the bags even. Then he pulled out that he was a Democratic Socialist, and he noted that his father worked for the CIA, and he motioned to a paperweight that had been sitting on his desk throughout the entire interview and basically put it in my face.
What do you think that was supposed to do?
My dad works. I guess he was trying to intimidate me at that point, because towards the end I asked a little bit harder questions, and I think he realized where I was kind of going with it when I said, well,
yeah,
people
no, these people are extremely authoritarian.
It wasn't just him, Alex. There were grad students at these meetings who were part of these sustainable development classes.
Oh, they've got a big career coming running our lives.
But I tried to interview him, and the guy said, are you with the group? I'm not allowed to talk to you. And I was like, oh, they told you not to talk to us, and he walked away.
And you yourself have a degree from UT.
Yeah, I do, but I get treated like trash on the campus, so I guess that's what being alumni is all about.
Well, man, I tell you, this is amazing. I want to just show people this. This is from their own sites. Look at all these Rockefeller foundations, each one of these. Every one of them set up by these people. See, real power is in controlling everybody. Deciding what you can do, how you can live.
It's a cute name like Nature Fund, but then you look at who's on that board. It's people from Bain Capital, people from Rockefeller Foundations. It's people who run J.P. Morgan and are still on those boards today dealing with this land that they're going to turn over in some corrupt behind-the-scenes fashion.
Yeah, well, people need to look at these books, because this is what they're setting up right here. And you, again, word for word, what these people were pushing, who were funded by these NGOs, and they're laughing at you, going, we don't know what that is, because they know the general public is not going to read this. They're not going to look at this. And it's just so sad. And, you know, maybe some of the people that work for them are useful idiot minions. The point is, the professor started saying the family was a tyranny. Well, that's standard. In Germany, they've already passed the law, no new homes for families. Families must live in communities, in dorms, with all these weirdo socialists telling you what to do with your kids. I mean, it's hell on earth. Hell on earth.
Yeah, he pretty much said the nuclear family has its own brand of tyranny. And then he explained to me exactly how that was.
And that driving in cars was a tyranny.
Yeah.
It makes mothers subordinate to have to take their children to
live. As if dad and mom don't both. I mean, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we know how the globalists treat women. We've only got about 1 minute left here before we go to this piece. I guess we call it Texas taken over by the UN, or the UN conquers Texas. But again, this is everywhere. This is all over the country. 60 seconds, Aaron.
I've got the map from HUD. It's mapped out almost every region in the U.S.
It matches this congressional map.
Oh,
half the country off limits.
You bet it does. But just in Texas, they've got the Houston greater area. They've got the Dallas-Fort Worth area and Austin in a big triangle. It's all going to be gridded out. Almost nothing will be left free.
That's coming up in this report, Melissa.
I just feel very sad for the people that go to these meetings. They think they're doing something really good. And they go in there and then they're told, this is your vision for your community. But it's not. It's not their vision. They had nothing to do with it. It's being imposed upon them.
Great job, guys. And we're going to continue to go to these meetings and cover it. We're going to continue to document this. And, folks, all over the country, all over the world, it's the exact same thing. This is happening in your town right now. And you walk in, they go, by coming to this meeting, you agree to whatever we do. And you don't even get to speak in the meeting. You have a sticky note that you go and you put on the thing. And that's how the UN model works with NGOs. They have financed NGOs that let the public speak in fake town halls, but you don't vote. They have these regional governments funded by the feds, the globalists, and others who come in and then totally take over your society. Comments on that?
I mean, that's exactly what we saw in this. I mean, the people came, they thought they were going to get a grocery store in Hutto, for example. And then when I went and asked the lady who was running it later, 94% of people here think they're going to get a grocery store. Are you going to add that into the plan? And she said, well, this is just for planning. We can't just make a grocery store.
No, all they do is they get you to sign on to controlling the land. And then Michelle Obama says, we'll end the food deserts. The feds are going to decide what happens in your town. It's all going to be insiders. I was talking to a fellow who helped at-risk youth. In fact, he trained over 100,000 people total over a decade in these classes. And he described how as soon as Obama came in with big government, all the little grants to help at-risk teenagers, people were just gone. And it's literally like mafia groups now in control of it. That's all this is. This is just mafia. This is just rolling in and saying, hey, we're the boss. We're the grasshoppers. You're the ants.
Yeah, I called up the NGO, ICLEI, who works with the United Nations, because Austin's a big ICLEI city. It's the model city for the world. We have the biggest carbon cut.
Yeah, we're in the heart of the UN takeover, because they know Texas was free, so everybody ran here to get away from big government, but they've landed their attack forces.
And whenever the federal government gives out grants, they call up entities and tell them how to get the grants, so that's pretty insider, and they call it a consortium of a regional unelected government that works with some shell game.
Our tax money and corporate money goes to the regional governments.
Yeah, and it's sick, but they tell you that's accountable because it's mayors and councilmen. But
they cherry-pick their minions to make up the board.
Could Congress go and play a baseball game and start legislating from on the field? I mean,
yeah, hey, we had 20 Congress members that came to the baseball game. We don't need that old government. We got 20 congressmen here. Yeah, but who flew them there? Who paid for the hooker in the hotel room? Good God, this is so unbelievable. Oh, okay, well, here you go. Today, Texas, tomorrow, the world. Here is the report on InfoWars Nightly News.
This is the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Aaron Dykes.
And I'm Melissa Melton. Agenda 21 is not a conspiracy theory. And while it may seem harmless or even helpful on the surface, it is a UN-inspired, banker-funded scheme to institute a global government from the ground up. Right here, right now, our country is being taken over in the name of sustainable development.
Local environmental groups are meeting in towns across America backed by big federal grant money, but behind that, entities like the Rockefeller Foundation. Their sustainable community meetings are not only a takeover, but a buy-in to a planned society controlled by a psychopathic elite, all sold with a smile. So to find out more, we decided to investigate some of those local meetings taking place in Texas to find out about the dark deception behind this Agenda 21 scheme.
They had growth on them so quickly and so heavily they didn't have time to plan.
What is sustainable development?
The conservation of energy resources.
People that live there maybe don't have to drive as much.
Concentrated and balanced growth.
Concentrated and balanced growth.
And the kind of growth you want to see.
To help you achieve the vision.
Higher density mixed-use development in the center of town.
How compact or not is it creating this much more interconnected grid?
Growth here, more balance.
Housing and jobs balance with the stakeholder committee's participation in line with the Sustainable Places Project.
The Housing and Urban Development Department of the United States awarded Sustainable Communities Regional Planning grants to Texas, giving $3.7 million to the Capital Area Council of Governments in a project that spanned Austin, Texas, as well as neighboring rural communities that include Elgin, Lockhart, Hutto, and Dripping Springs. The grant specifies guidelines for energy use and climate change mitigation, as well as the integration of smart housing, nearby job sectors, and integrated transportation systems. The members of the project we spoke with in Elgin were apparently unaware of HUD's related agenda to the larger Agenda 21 program.
Agenda what?
Agenda 21.
What's the number stand for?
21st century.
And what does that mean?
I'm not familiar with it at all, so I couldn't comment on that. So I'm not sure what their criteria or their outline is on that.
Respectfully, there is no national treaty that obligates local governments to follow Agenda 21. That just doesn't exist. That's a myth.
We're promoting sustainable, responsible development. But it's nothing to do with the United Nations. I mean, you know, if that's just paranoia. Sorry.
In fact, there is an international agenda at work. Austin is a model city for the ICLEI. The NGO partnered with the United Nations to push for local Agenda 21 implementation. In the name of sustainability, they've taken on some of the most ambitious carbon cuts in the entire nation and are a model for energy conservation and zero waste. And unelected regional boards are drawing the rest of Central Texas into this international scheme, all in the name of sustainability. Among other groups, Smart Growth America and the ICLEI Local Governments for Sustainability USA Group specifically congratulated the cities and towns receiving these HUD grants for sustainable communities and regional planning. So it is absurd to claim that there is no international agenda interacting with these local communities as they attempt to implement sustainable development goals.
Well, I know a lot about Agenda 21, and I don't have any concerns because I don't think this project is driven by the international community or even by the national community. I think it's driven by Elgin, Texas.
Except it's been implemented nationally under treaty, and these grants are coming from the federal level. I think it's really dishonest not to admit there's an Agenda 21 motive.
Sustainability is just about letting local communities decide for themselves.
We had heard so much about what Agenda 21 wasn't, we decided to interview a professor that teaches it. This is Dean Almy, an associate professor and director of graduate programs in urban design and landscape architecture at the University of Texas.
Now, in Texas, Texas Triangle is one of the 10 identified mega regions of the United States. And the projections, which were pretty much just confirmed by the recent census data that was released, are that populations in the Texas Triangle will double in the next 20 to 30 years. And one of the big problems, of course, is that it starts to create new towns, new communities, but are they really communities? Are they really towns when they're all sort of evolving in a really short time?
He teaches Agenda 21 courses at the university.
So the course I teach, which I call Agenda 21, really deals with the question of sustainable urbanism. How do we begin to sort of build the city more sustainably moving forward?
What is Agenda 21, kind of a brief overview, and why you feel that it's an important plan?
Well, it was a resolution of the United Nations, where a number of countries got together, ostensibly in Rio, also called the Rio Declaration, to begin to look at the way in which humans were occupying the world, the state of the world, the state of civilization in the world, how we were using resources, whether the consumption of resources and global development was being achieved ecologically and equitably.
And when recently asked about the UN's plan by a San Antonio-based news station, he was quoted as saying, "It's changing the status quo of how we operate as a country that is developing, and so it's threatening to some people. Urban design by its nature is about the collective good and isn't necessarily about the freedom of any one person to do whatever the hell they want."
So I was going to ask you if you wanted to talk about that quote a little bit.
Well, I mean, already, you know, if we're looking for code words, okay, so already in that quote is the term collective, which, you know, a conspiracy theorist could somehow associate with, you know, I don't know, the Soviet Union. Right? And that's not
communism.
That's not the intent. You know, collective just means to get us together as a society. I kind of stand behind that, actually. Cities are not individual constructs built by single people. Cities are collective constructs where we all live together, and we have to balance the needs of individuals and the needs of collective society. And cities, by their very nature, would be very difficult to construct and manage and develop if they were all sort of politically anarchic.
Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Visioning meetings rely on the Delphi technique, a manipulation tactic wherein a facilitator ensures a public forum goes as planned with the predetermined outcome already decided upon by those who ultimately called the meeting. The Delphi technique was created by the Rand Corporation in the 1950s for the U.S. Department of Defense to use as a psychological weapon during the Cold War. While community feedback is encouraged, the final outcome is driven by leading questions and preset answers. These same exact strategies were outlined in detail in the local Agenda 21 handbook. We saw this at both sustainable development meetings we attended. No matter what answer a community member chose, it all fed into the Agenda 21 plan already underway. The project planners admitted they weren't working with a blank slate, but were instead following a plan already mapped out by so-called stakeholders.
What we want to be really clear about is that we're not starting from sort of an empty slate. Your community has done a lot of work in setting in place lots of plans and policies like the comprehensive plan.
We're planners. We've been involved in projects mostly in central Austin and in, around that area. We worked on the Miller redevelopment for many years, and we're still working on it. The downtown Austin plan, we're working on several master plan communities around the region. A lot of focus on urban infill and redevelopment.
Jen, have you ever heard of Agenda 21?
Yes, but just recently.
Is this a part of that plan?
No.
Is it affiliated in any way?
No.
The reason I ask is because you use a lot of the same terminology, visioning workshops and sustainable development, and a lot of that falls under that plan, and I just didn't know.
That is very traditional planning talk from the last probably 30 years. So we always talk about, you know, having a vision. What is the general big picture vision?
But there's a larger agenda going on. I mean, this is a regional development. It didn't start here in Elgin. These proposals didn't originate here in Elgin. They're being done in other cities.
I think these proposals did originate here in Elgin.
Why are all these plans springing up all at once at the same exact time, all over the country, all over every city, though? It's not a coordinated effort.
Well, I don't want to be contentious with you. I would just say that I think that's a myth. They're not springing up all over the country. In this whole region, there's four cities looking at it.
In fact, the sustainable communities were popping up in nearly every major metro area across the country, all funded by HUD. And these sustainable communities are pursuing the international agenda under President Obama's Partnership for Sustainable Communities, joining together the policies and regulations of Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Traffic, and the EPA.
I actually went to my first sustainable development meeting last week. They received a federal grant from Obama's Partnership for Sustainable Communities, and they seem to use a lot of the same language in Agenda 21. I didn't know if you knew about those sustainable meetings that have been happening around here and if those are somehow connected.
Well, there are a number of layers of sustainability, I mean, almost to the point where the term itself is sort of overused. But here at the School of Architecture, we have a Center for Sustainable Development, which does get grants from foundations, sometimes from federal government, usually from philanthropic foundations. And they are a clearinghouse for a whole series of different initiatives.
Texas has been faced with so-called smart growth proposals for well over a decade now. For years, bureaucrats in the Texas area laughed in the faces of activists, even as they gave passionate speeches defying the implementation of toll roads and other unnecessary infrastructure already owned by the state of Texas and its citizens. Instead, unelected regional boards like Campo moved the measures forward as best they could, while insiders who amounted to little more than thieves skimmed off the top and made millions off of secret deals. And yet we see some of the same regional players pushing for further development in the name of sustainability.
The Central Texas Vision for Growth was directed by CAPCOG, Trust for Public Land, and Envision Central Texas.
These entities, in turn, are shaped and steered by countless environmental groups controlled and funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, George Soros, and Ted Turner, among others. Their alignment with Agenda 21 is well documented. Sustainable development was coined by the United Nations to mask a covert takeover at the local level. Land conservation and smart growth planning have been used to subsidize insiders, allowing development to be hijacked while the system picks winners and losers, reaping the profits at our expense.
Everything in green is the protected area. So you see there's not really much protected areas 15 years ago. 2 years ago, this is the work that we did. All this land was purchased by cities or by the city of Austin or the county, and we use our funds and our political clout to encourage the city to purchase these lands for protection.
Has any of that been developed on?
Yes. So this does not mean there's no development. What it means is that the development is done in a sustainable and ecologically friendly way.
By implementing Agenda 21, it's a local implementation, it's from the bottom up kind of thing, that by putting all these regulations environmentally and putting them on the urban areas that, you know, are usually the economic centers for cities, that you're sort of picking winners and losers in a way, because you're saying that only people who will adhere to these things are allowed to develop, and so there's kind of a bigger agenda there with that. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I would turn it around a little bit, and I would say, I don't know that we're picking winners or losers. This is not a kind of environmental nepotism that's going on. I mean, but I think it's a mistake to think that rules don't already exist everywhere.
The United Nations has made its anti-private property stance abundantly clear. Quote, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth and therefore contributes to social injustice. The provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole.
First of all, we have to believe that humans need to live kind of symbiotically with the earth, that we're not here to dominate the earth. You know, when the United States was founded and many of the original sort of authors and thinkers who wrote about, you know, society in the U.S. and people like Thoreau, for example, there was a sort of idea that the U.S. was this great wilderness, that we could just go out and sort of settle the wilderness and be pioneers and live on our own and be independent. I don't think it's like that anymore. I mean, there's very little wilderness left in the United States.
Sustainable development is the philosophy designed to bring human beings across the globe under the full control of a narrow human elite.
It's a 40-chapter document to basically control the world. It's based entirely on socialist control mechanisms.
Sustainable developers have designed a global movement coordinated through a global to local action plan to create world government in accordance with certain objectives. An end to national sovereignty, the abolition of private property, the restructure of the family unit, and increasing limitations and restrictions on mobility and individual opportunity.
Professor Almy admitted plans to restrict travel were ecologically necessary, and his contempt for the family and Western civilization was thinly veiled.
You know, the suburbs bring with them their own kind of tyranny, right? One is, public space is almost non-existent in terms of real public space. There's lots of lawn, right? But real collective public space. There's the tyranny, I would argue, of, you know, the nuclear family, and not that that's tyranny in itself, it's not, but the wife having to drive their kids to everything. Having to drop your kids off at school, having to pick your kids up at school, having to drive them to Little League, everything is about one member of a family having to basically play a support role while another member works. And everything is sort of geared that way, and it's actually quite expensive. You know? So things like the automobile and the amount of infrastructure that families use to economically to support living in an environment dominated by patterns that are automobile dependent
is a big problem.
This is an Agenda 21 map that claims that that is what, if Agenda 21 was fully implemented, the United States would look like. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I haven't seen this map before.
And this is something that opponents have said is the ultimate plan of Agenda 21. I didn't know if you had heard of this map or seen it before.
I haven't seen the map before, but I know where some of the principles behind the map come from. It's trying to kind of suggest that if we were to develop networks of water, networks of plant habitat, networks of animal habitat, networks of human habitat, how would these networks begin to interact? What areas would need to be preserved from development?
There is a pretty great fear of this. I found a lot out there of this plan. And that it really will somehow end property rights, people's personal property rights, that it will end national sovereignty eventually and give it up to a whole global entity now that will kind of take control over everything. That's kind of the general...
You know what will end national sovereignty faster than some fictitious conspiracy based on a United Nations declaration? Major ecological catastrophe. You know? And to be honest, in my opinion, I think one has to come to terms with the fact that such things as global warming exist. If you don't believe global warming exists, or if you believe that man is on this planet to dominate the world, then you don't care about these things.
It should be noted that the professor admitted to democratic socialist leanings once the cameras were off, and that his father worked for the CIA, as evidenced by a paperweight he displayed on his desk during the interview. While he talked in circles on many concepts and seemed to contend that he knew what was best for humanity, he refused to acknowledge any nefarious motives behind Agenda 21.
Most of the people here in Elgin don't know or care what Agenda 21 is. I don't care what Agenda 21's agenda is.
Think about it. These local planners are trying to concentrate smart growth in small towns of barely 15,000 people in the second largest state in the nation, encompassing hundreds of miles of empty land. In fact, experts have even come forward to say that the world's entire population of 7 billion could fit here in Texas comfortably with no problem. It doesn't make any sense. But make no mistake, what does make sense is that these local sustainable development meetings are nothing more than a green mask trying to hide a global takeover in plain sight.
Takeover doesn't even begin to explain it. There really are no words for this level of evil and greed. These are just front groups we've analyzed in the video today. But when you look at the real players behind them, the bankers, the people with connections to families like the Rockefellers, you begin to understand the true corruption, the real nature of evil, where mega wealth aligns with an agenda to destroy humanity and control our future for their gain. For the InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Aaron Dykes.
And I'm Melissa Mountain.
This is real investigative reporting. This is real research. This is putting our necks out there against these groups. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing they can't stop, and that's you becoming informed and taking action. I guarantee you this is happening in your town because there is trillions of dollars in this. This is the whole ball of wax. Please get this report out to everyone you know. Please warn everybody that this takeover is taking place. We can stop these people, but it's up to you. Learn how they operate, learn what they're doing, and stop this globalist corporate takeover. The globalists have gotten good at this. They've taken over so many third world countries, old world nations, European nations. They are tyrants. They've got a formula, but they have a playbook. They have a formula. We know their formula, and if we'll wake up to the fact that they're doing this, they're like, hey, we're just planning. We're just, you know, city planning and social planning. Yeah, by globalists that have hijacked our country that are eugenicists. That's like saying, hey, this is just a meat cleaver. I'm just packing you up with it. I mean, what's the big deal? This is happening right now, so it's up to you to take action. I'm a reporter. I'm not a general. But I will tell you this is an info war. So if you want orders, here it is. Get out there and take these people on in the info war. They are absolutely anti-human, anti-liberty, anti-freedom. They are parasites from the word go who think we should thank them for running our lives. I know this. I declare independence, 1776, part two, against these people. And I know you're doing that as well. The Washington Post, the New York Times, they all admit, oh, my God, people are waking up to Gen 21. Yeah, it's real, but it's a good idea for you. It's collectivism. It's communism. You're going to like it. No, we don't want it. Even if you were angels, we want our free will, but you're not. At the top, they're eugenicist, wicked, power-tripping control freaks. I'm Alex Jones signing off for this very special edition of InfoWars Nightly News. The rest is up to you. So cry havoc and let loose the dogs of the InfoWar. Loose those arrows.